Continuing with our look at death. Before we look at how death comes, let's look at some of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which asks us specifically to prepare for death. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked, "Ayyul mu'min aqyas?" Who is the cleverest of the believers? Qala, he said, "Aktharuhum dhikran lil-maut wa ashadduhum istidadan lah." The person who remembers death more than others, and the one who has prepared himself for it more than others. And someone asked Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, "What is the best way to prepare for death?" "Mal istidadu lil-maut." And he said, "Ada'u al-fara'id wa ijtinabu al-maharim wal-ijtimal wal-maqarim thumma la yubali awqa 'ala al-maut aw waqa 'ala al-maut." One shall fulfill his or her wajibat, abstain from the forbidden, show the best of akhlaq, the best of morals, and at that point one should not be concerned whether he falls upon death or death falls upon him. It is so beautiful. And finally, another hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Prophet said, "Shay'an yakruhum ibn al-Adam." There are two things that the son of Adam does not like. He says, "Yakrahu al-maut wal-mautu rahatan lil-mu'minin min al-fitna, wa yakrahu qillat al-mal wa qillat al-mal aqall lil-hisab." The son of Adam dislikes death, even though death is an ease for the believer from trials and tribulation. And the son of Adam does not like a reduction in wealth, even though in the reduction of wealth lies a lessening in one's accountability. There are so many ahadith that talk about death, and hopefully we will look at some more as the days go on. But as I promised yesterday, let's first look at how does death come. Well, when death approaches and the five senses cease to function, one sees, and I say this in spiritual vision, the whole of one's life flashing by. And one also sees three things which claim to be friends. The first of them says, "I will remain with you till your death." Now, these are our worldly accumulations, the material wealth and assets. The second says, "I will accompany you to the entrance of your grave." These are family and friends. The third says, "I will remain with you forever." And these are our amal, or our deeds, or the work, our life actions. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam has said that, "I do not hesitate in any order except the death of a believer." And he quotes Allah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, "I do not hesitate in any order except the death of a believer." He or she dislikes death, and I don't like displeasing him or her. Therefore, when the time of death comes, Allah says that he sends two angels to the believer. One is called Musqiyah and the other Munsiyah. Musqiyah makes the person generous, encouraging him or her to leave everything behind. And Munsiyah makes him or her forget the world. It is after that that the angel of death, his name is Israel, arrives to remove the soul. Now, one of the preparations that is absolutely necessary to be done, as in now, if you haven't done it, you've got to do now, and has been greatly emphasized, is the writing of a will. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that one who dies without a will, "Man mata bighayri wasiyya mata maytata jahiliyya," will die the death of one who dies during the age of ignorance. In another hadith, it is mentioned that it is better that when a Muslim intends to go to sleep, he keeps his will underneath his pillow. The hadith says, "La yambaghi an yabita illa wa wasiyata tahta ra'asihi." It is so important, and it is a necessity for every Muslim. In a hadith narrated by Abi Sabah Kanani, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam was asked regarding the reality and truth about the will. And he said, "This is an issue which is firmly rooted in Islam and is a necessity for every Muslim." Now, with the emphasis that has been placed on the writing of a will, it's necessary to learn the correct procedure of writing a will as taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you must make sure that this follows the precepts that are laid down by Islam. You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the reward of a person who writes a will in which there is no oppression or injustice and no one is put in a disadvantage or lost is just as a person who spent all of his life, or all of his wealth rather, in the way of Allah during his life. There's another hadith from Rasulullah which says, a person who observes justice in writing his will is just as a person who during his lifetime has spent it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beautiful the way it is done. It is important to look at your own school of thought and work out the will that is written. Just one thing you do know, that in a will you can only specify 1/3 of your wealth to be spent in a certain way. The rest of the 2/3 has been designated to be spent as ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Now the first stage we're going to look at now is what happens when a person is hit on his or her deathbed. The word used in Arabic is called muhtadir. It's when a person is in this situation, it means that the signs of death are apparent around this person. And there are some rules that we need to look at. The rules are divided into two categories. The first category are rules that are for the person to perform himself or herself, and the second category are for those who are around him. As far as the dying person goes, and he's known as a muhtadir, then for him it is imperative that he asks for, or she asks for, forgiveness for his or her sins. Also, as I mentioned, if you haven't written a will, then at that point to be able to at least say about the, or talk about the will and say if there's any property or trust in their position, something that belongs to others, something they owe someone else, to be able to tell someone about these debts that are based on him or her. There's a beautiful supplication or dua that I believe is necessary for all of us to learn. If we learn now, then when death approaches, we will know how to say it. It's so beautiful. Allahumma ighfir li al-kathira min ma'asik. Oh Allah, forgive my many, many sins. Waqbal minni al-yasira min ta'atik. And accept my very few deeds, which I did in obedience to you. Ya man yaqbalu al-yasir wa ya'fu anil kathir. Oh, he who accepts a little and forgives a lot. اقبل مني اليسير, accept my little, وعفو عني القثير, forgive my lots. إنك أنت الأفو الغفور, indeed you are forgiving and merciful. اللهم ارحمني فإنك رحيم. Oh Allah, have mercy on me. Truly you are the merciful. I love this dua. And we need to repeat it again and again and again. If we don't know it, how are we going to say it when death approaches? If death is difficult, It is recommended to sit in the place where you used to offer prayers, or to ask those around you to carry you there. Inshallah, that helps the agony of death. It is also the surahs that are recommended to be recited are Suratul Yasin, Suratul Safat, Suratul Ahzab, Ayatul Kursi, the last three ayat of Suratul Baqarah, and the 54th ayah of Suratul Araf. But any Quran, to have it played around you, inshallah, will ease those agonies. Now for those around the muhtadir, it is imperative, or it is wajib, that when you see a Muslim who is dying, whether man or woman, old or young, then to lay them on their back if possible, in such a manner that the soles of their feet are facing Qibla, that is a direction towards the Kaaba. And it's important to be able to try and do that. If you're in a hospital bed, if somebody's in a hospital bed, then to try and move the bed so it is facing, the soles of the feet are facing Qibla. It is recommended that to be able to recite the Shahada continually to the person and other tenets of faith so that they recommend them. If they're not able to recite them themselves, this dua that I mentioned of istighfar, to continually recite to them and to recite Quran as much as possible near them. And as soon as a person dies, it is recommended that the eyes and the lips are closed, the hand and the feet are straightened, and a cloth placed over the body. for a person who dies at night, it is mustahab to have a light where he or she is. Let me just end today by looking at a hadith that gives you the thawabs for just moving a dying person towards the qibla. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once visited one of his relations, one of the descendants of Abdul Muttalib, was on his deathbed and was not facing qibla. And he said, make this person face qibla, because if you do this, the angels will turn their attention towards him and Allah will turn his attention to him until he leaves the world. It's so beautiful. For reciting the shahada to a dying person, again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that at the time of death, one should recite shahada, la ilaha illallah, to the dying person, since whoever's last words are la ilaha illallah will go to Jannah. Isn't that beautiful? Just to know some of these facts can make such a difference to ourselves and to the person who is dying. Inshallah, we will continue with the topic of death.